Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Feast of Fools podcast, La Fiesta de Tontos podcast, live from Disneyland. We are in the Magic Kingdom. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I'm Fausto Fernos.
And I'm Sal E.
And I'm Mark Fillion.
And we are on the last leg of our trip in California. Tomorrow we return back to Chicago, and we have had a wonderfully successful tour of California and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Silver Lake. Mm-hmm. And right now we're just minutes away from watching the fireworks at the end of the day at Disneyland.
We were denied the night before due to weather conditions.
Yeah, because I guess it didn't feel windy down here, but they say that that up in the stratosphere or wherever, like a couple hundred feet up, that there's a lot of wind coming off the mountains here.
That's where the clouds live.
That's what they said, though, but I don't know. I think they're like, well, let's save $50,000 tonight and not have the fireworks and blame it on the weather.
Well, it is kind of dangerous because you have people so close. Is something exploding already?
No, that's that one show we didn't go to.
Phantasmagoria.
Which we're going to go to afterwards.
Yes.
They play it several times at night?
Once before the fireworks, the main fireworks, and then once afterwards.
In a lot of ways, like attending rides at Disneyland is sort of like a podcast. You can time shift the event and watch it or participate in it sometime later.
Well, like the Disneyland parade, I didn't realize it goes through a couple times a day. I thought, it was that one time a day. If you miss it, you're done. So
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, we saw the water and light show yesterday?
That's what it was, the Phantasma.
We saw the ending part of it. Now we go and see the whole thing.
What was the title of it, though?
Phantasma Orgasm or something? I don't know.
Phantasma.
Explosions and lights magic. That's what it's called.
And it really was that. It was a lot of lights and water. And mostly the feature was they were projecting film and video and lasers onto different shapes of water and sort of tricking your mind into thinking that Mickey Mouse is recreating that scene from Fantasia where he's manipulating the forces of nature itself.
Creating, that was real.
Will there be hippos dancing?
I hope so. That's one of my favorite parts of Fantasia is the fat hippos.
I think it's the only part. I was really bored by Fantasia when I was a kid. I saw it and I was just like, this is boring.
That's because you didn't watch it stoned.
Well, I didn't get high very much as a child. And I don't think I haven't seen it as an adult, I don't think.
They just redid it a couple of years ago where they made the colors.
Conceptualized.
Yeah.
A lot of that, instead of reinventing things here at Disneyland, they reconceptualize it.
What's that word? Re-ear-ize?
Reinvent.
No, it's re. Because we met with Mari, who was an Imagineer, and I was saying that they redid something. I said they reimagineered it.
That's it. Reimagineered.
Reimagineer.
Hey, Mario.
Hi, Mario. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, Mike Rocco. And all our other friends who work at... are actually employees of Disney. And are there any straight men who work at Disneyland? I mean, I don't see any.
I don't really see any either, but you never know. I think that guy playing the trumpet today, I think he was straight.
Yeah, he didn't look too happy. Like, the gay people are really into it, and it's like... I think Disney understands that they want to be really good to their gay employees because gay men make the magic happen. Let's put it there.
At least they do for me.
They do for a lot of their guests. I mean, they're the ones we saw the part of. We were part of the block party, which is a very perky sort of High School Musical, Zac Efron-esque inspired parade.
I think it's about to start. The music's starting.
Well, we better go.
Okay, we're gonna watch the.
Wait until some explosions happen. Hold on.
Okay, so we're going to watch the fireworks, and then we'll be right back. Everybody's got a quiet place to
put May West routines.
Okay, so let's explain to the people. We are at Disneyland, and we're back. We just watched the fireworks display, and this weekend is the Gay Days at Disney that attracts about 30 to 40,000 gay people wearing red shirts to identify their sexuality or their sexual
interest. To represent.
So, it's kind of like about the same number of people that listen to our show on a weekly basis.
Well, do you really think there's that many people here, 30 to 40?
That's what they claim.
That's what they claim?
And that's what we claim.
I was saying that I thought there was going to be like a sea of red t-shirts because that's what they all wear, red t-shirts, to signify that they're homosexuals or... you know, carpet munchers.
Well, it was definitely a sea of gay people later in the evening.
It was like a trickle of gays.
No, you were expecting... Well, you had expectations. Is that everybody's, like, definition of what red is sort of slightly different. Some people were wearing mauve or burgundy shirts.
I was checking out all the daddies and people's fathers and stuff.
I thought it was funny too. It's like you could obviously some people, like especially those people from like Nebraska, who's like their university state colors are red, that wore red today. I'm like, they didn't quite realize it. Or then you saw the young kid who was wearing red, and he was obviously gay with his family and stuff like that. And you're like, did he know? Was it psychic? Was it the cosmos calling him to wear that red? Or were his parents like, you're out and proud, I'm taking you to gay days at Disney?
Well, I see some people's grandmas in their sort of their wheelchairs wearing red, and I doubt they're trying to say I'm a proud lesbian, but maybe they are.
Maybe they are, yep.
Maybe they are, you know. It is interesting that the intersection between America's somewhat conservative families and gay people and their families and Disney, and how it's like pulled in two different directions trying to please everybody. And do you think, I think they do a pretty good job considering that they're trying to reach this general mass audience, don't you think?
I think baby strollers should be banned.
People do like use their baby strollers as weapons here.
They do. They're like, you will get out of my way or my baby will make contact with your ankles.
The wheels of a stroller.
You know what though? Where did baby strollers come from? When I was a kid, I don't remember people having baby strollers.
They had fancy ones. They were made out of plastic, and they were like they had a single or a double, and they were like one in front of each other. But now it's like there's like Transformer baby buggies and stuff, or like baby strollers and stuff.
So, quick advice for people who are attending gay days next year, whether they're in or any gay day themed event at any theme park. What advice would you give to our listeners about attending? I would say make sure you wear red. And make sure it's that cherry red, not burgundy, not maroon.
Well, I wore that cranberry and regular red.
Yeah, but that stood out as red to me, too.
I would say it was red. It was red. But you know what I would suggest, too, is I would probably go to some of the mixers that you have, like that they have. We didn't go to the mixers because, you know, we knew a lot of people here already. So I guess maybe we didn't, and we had each other, so we didn't feel like we had to. But I didn't, you know, we didn't just stop like gay people like, hi, you're gay, we're gay, let's hang out, you know.
I did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I turned around and said, hey, you're wearing red, you must be gay. And they're like,
oh, yeah, we
that's
did that.
So funny.
Well, I ran into my friends that brought their friends, and we hung out with them.
Right.
We had a party of 14.
Well, it was
sometimes.
It was really great hanging out with some of our hardcore listeners like Mario and Jonathan and Mike Rocco
and Puppy D. Yes.
And their friends were all fabulous, and they all had fabulous fetishes.
And I got some wonderful feedback from Mario because he likes our show because of all the voices that we do. And ooh, so he gave me a doll that was Piglet that was Fred. I didn't know that Fred Wynn was the voice. I think Fred Wynn did Tigger, though. He didn't do Piglet. He's the one that talked like this in Mary Poppins. He's Uncle Albert, who likes to have parties in the ceiling.
Well, he might have done several voices on that.
Maybe he did. I'm kind of like sad that they didn't keep all the vocalizations consistent. Well, also because the people who did the voices in the classical movies aren't alive today.
Yeah, but you can do a pretty good imitations of certain things, can't you?
I certainly can. Well, let's see. We could go through the voice.
A career out of being a Fred Wynn impersonator.
You think I could get work at Disney doing these voices? Ooh.
People are walking by going, what the fuck are they doing?
You know it's gay days.
It is gay days at Disney's, and it's like there are some people wearing red and some people are not. So let's go through the gay voices at Disney.
You're calling me.
Mark, you're calling Sally.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep pressing this thing. I got to get off the screen.
Yeah. Okay. So let's focus on the podcast here, guys.
Okay.
There's a lot of gay people here on their iPhones and regular cell phones and sort of like text messaging each other, which if chimping is looking at the photos in your camera, what would be like spending social time instead of interacting with people that are in the room to interact with other people elsewhere via your cell phone.
And I saw people wearing their iPods here too.
It's called rude. that's what it's called. But no, sometimes you do it, and everybody does it. And it's a little bit forgivable, but when people spend the whole time with you, like, and they're texting other people, you're just like, why, you know, why even bother?
Why are you even here? You know, your mind's obviously somewhere else.
Well, they're wanting to hook up with their friends, and it's easy when you're traveling with groups of people to, everybody wants to go see Space Mountain or Winnie the Pooh ride or one ride or another, and so they're pulled in different directions. But voices, Disney cartoon voices, what are some ones that stand out in your mind, Sal?
Oh, God. Roger Rabbit. Please! I can't do it now. I've been screaming.
I always loved Snow White's voice because I was always amazed by how, like, high it is.
And shrill.
Okay.
How does that go?
I can't even think. It's just like, it's so high.
Hi, someday my prince will come. Something like that. It's like, and then you have
that woman didn't make a dime, or she made very little money off that.
You know, one voice that doesn't stand in my mind is the voice of Ellen DeGeneres as the fish. That was kind of underwhelming. Yeah,
Dora. Well, she was kind of. It was Ellen. It was Ellen doing Bob Newhart.
It is sort of, yeah. And I was like, I was really sad that we couldn't do the.
We did see Rosie though.
We saw Rosie.
Sure. We gotta Flickr that. We'll send that to Flickr.
So we saw Rosie did the voice of a gorilla. In
Gorillas in the Mist.
And so we saw a gorilla. Like, oh my God! Look, it's Rosie.
And it is Rosie the gorilla from Tarzan, the movie.
And we're gonna take a picture with her. And then she was trying to get away. And then Fausto said, "Hey, Rosie!" And she stopped dead in her tracks and took all the time in the world to pose with us just because we called her Rosie.
Well, she knows that that's the name of the gorilla.
Oh, really? The gorilla's name is Rosie?
I think so. Yeah, it's named after
the gorilla has a different name.
It was Rosie.
Rosie.
Look, it's Rosie O'Donnell, and everybody wearing red shirts like pulled their cameras out, like, oh my God!
Have you ever gotten that picture on the on the internet? It's very famous. It's Rosie O'Donnell, and it's on a fat man's body with all sorts of body hair.
That was really her. Yes, it was.
Now you're a professional waxer, so I know you're making that up.
Now, you've waxed some pretty scary gorillas in your day.
Yes, I have.
And which was the most hair-raising adventure?
It would have to be Rosie O'Donnell. No, I'm kidding. We do have a client that I call her Rosie O'Donnell.
And you know when?
Really?
Yeah, because the whole time she giggles, she laughs just like her. As I'm waxing her, I'm putting the wax on her, and she's like, and she does the whole laugh and everything.
I can't think of what Rosie's laugh is like, but
when you hear it, you're going to be like, is she getting waxed?
Oh, Chanel, your baby! I wanted to get the gorilla to say that, but she because they
the gorillas
don't talk.
That's frustrating for me. They should teach.
Sign. Do sign language. Do it.
I want to get a job one summer working at Disneyland as Tigger and be like, Tiggers love to bounce. You know? And just being doing that all the time.
I'm sure you could get it.
I could do it.
Tigger can't say anything.
You know what I also want to get a job as, and we didn't talk about this, was the block party. We had all these perky, caffeinated, young, handsome men and some women thrown in there for good measure, dancing their butts off with Toy Story.
Oh, my God, the smiles these people had. It's like, were they fed sugar?
I think it was crystal meth.
Jesus Christ, bouncing off the walls.
Disney spikes
the punch.
I was waiting for some Wiz song to come out, like, everybody, it was crazy.
I imagine the choreographer for that probably has a taser, and if you're not smiling enough, you get zapped.
I don't know. You know, it is great to see people be into what they do, and the people that are marching down the street, and these, for a lot of these young gymnasts and dancers, like, performing here and getting a job as a dancer, as a performer, is a dream come true. And Disney is the place where dreams come true.
Yeah, it's like my niece does it, and she's been at Disney for, God, how many years now? Like 4 or 5 years? Loves it.
And they gain a lot of satisfaction. For them, it's the place to be. And then there are some people who, you know, not as into it, and we saw some of these musicians that were a little sad. And they were, like, playing their...
The one on the trumpet, it's like, why are you here if you don't want to be here?
I was like, quit your job. Move to New Orleans.
He threw beads towards me, and I was just like, I just looked at them as they flew by. I didn't even try to catch them.
He was phoning
it. I don't want your beads.
And really, if you get a job at Disney, you do it because you love it, not because of the money. Because, you know, it's not a place to get rich, you know? They pay people good living salaries, but it's not like...
Some of the people we know that work for Disney make some pretty decent money, but we'll see.
I want everybody who comes on the Winnie the Pooh ride here in Disney to say hi to Jonathan.
Yes,
he
Jonathan.
He showed us where the hidden Mickey Mouse were.
That was so great. He was like, he took the ride with us, and he pointed to all these different things that where in these rides, like all the hidden Mickeys, which is really exciting.
Winnie the Pooh's face on the doormat of one of the houses as you make the turn, and you'll miss it, but if you stand at a certain angle, you'll see his face.
He pointed it out to us, and Fausto, I said, "What did he point out?" And he goes, "Fausto goes, it's Winnie the Pooh's turd. He took a turd there." I'm like,
It was his two eyes, his nose, and his mouth. And then the only place where you'll see Christopher Robin is that as you're leaving the ride on the doorway, on the panel, you'll see a silhouette of Christopher Robin.
On a balloon or something like that, too. Isn't it in the beginning? I think you see him, don't you?
No, that's the only place you see it was at the end. Because if they were to make him true to size or up to scale, he would be bigger than the actual ride.
Yeah, he'd be like 20 feet tall and he would scare the children.
Well, I thought, the Winnie the Pooh ride, it was kind of bland for adults, but I thought if I was a child riding that, especially the dream sequences,
oh my God, it was like
I would have been freaked out.
It was awesome.
I love black light paintings and things moving around.
I love what Pop Don said about it, how he said it was really, it's a bukkake.
What's a bukkake?
A bukkake. Bukkake is a type of pornography that was popularized in Japan, and bukkake is from the Japanese word to splash. And so what happens is like a lot of, they have pictures of people with their faces and then a lot of men ejaculating onto that face. And so there's Pooh Bear. There's Pooh Bear and he's got all this honey dripping off him and it kind of looks like some bukkake fantasy.
That's hot.
And then his name is Pooh, so what do you think,
So hot.
I am so hot.
It
is interesting, to see the subtext in a lot of the things, because it's gay people make these things happen and they want to make it relevant and interesting for the adults and also non-threatening for children. But it's like people who work at Disney are on their tips and toes, because I can imagine that a lot of these moms and dads get on the edge and go, this was inappropriate for my children.
Oh gosh, the Roger Rabbit ride at the end of the ride when he's like, let me open up a hole for you, and he like stretches the hole and that's how we escaped.
Well, and the Jessica Rabbit.
Some mother's going to get mad because somebody said hole.
Exactly. Right.
Well, and the Jessica Rabbit was very pushing the boundaries,
TNA. TNA.
There was TNA there, and it's like the silhouette. And
the silhouette looked like she was supposed to have her hand on her hip and like walking
something.
Like because of her big, hips and stuff, but it almost looked like she was rubbing her butt or like scratching her stuff because either she had crabs or we don't know.
So we were waiting to get on the Roger Rabbit thing today, and they kind of deceive you because you see the line goes there, and then you see another at the end of the line, so you're like, oh, it's not that long. It's just around the corner. Isn't that fabulous? And then you go in and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then
this whole town.
Yeah. And then Buzz goes, we're going to get right up there and the ride's going to break down. And what happened?
The ride broke.
What happened?
What happened?
The ride broke down.
So we had to wait 15, 20 minutes. It was just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
Okay, you know what? It was fun. It was worth it.
You know what bothered me about it was not that the ride broke down, not that they were struggling to put it back together.
About.
It was 7 to 10 sorority sisters. All opening the manual, how it's like too many cooks spoiled the broth, all arguing over how to fix the ride. And they were thumbing through the manual, not knowing what to do. And they were going through their keychain, trying to figure out which key to use to turn the device, to turn it on and off. And it was the most frustrating thing. I wanted to go there and say, where is your manager?
Yeah.
I thought it was really, and so at the end of the thing, like we turned to the woman and said, can we do something? Can you make one of my dreams come true? Which, not a date with Zac Efron, but,
Get a So we got a fast pass to It's a Small World After
and
All.
And that was really nice.
I've never been on that. It's really hokey.
I have to say that It's a Small World After All, for those of you who are into that sort of 60s minimalist. 50s and 60s minimalist illustration type of drawing. I can't remember the artist, but its name, but it is absolutely a visual delight, and it's really great about Disney's Tiki Bird Room and It's a Small World After All that they've managed to maintain the visual style and the integrity of the ride from its original conception in the 1960s. Well, and that's great.
I think it's great because a lot of times you have these wonderful things and they just get, taken down and then they're lost.
And there, there's always a pressure, and especially in large corporations like Disney, to keep moving forward in a sense and discarding their past and not sort of keeping ties to their roots as an entertainment company. And it's really, really great to sit in the Tiki Bird Room and think, this is what it was like for people in the 1960s that, run through the ride, It's a Small World After All, and say, my God, people's minds must have been blown away when they rode through this the first time.
But you know what? Even like for my age, this was actually my first time riding this ride at this park. Because I've been to the one in Japan, I've been to the one in Orlando, and I'm like, I kept on this ride, I'm like, did they change something? I'm like, oh wait, the whole ride's on a track of water, and the other ones, it's like, the whole ride is like water. It's not a track, it's like the whole floor is water. It's covered in water.
But don't you think, Sally, it is something remarkable that most theme parks and you know, amusement parks have a sort of push to scare people and shake them and rattle them around.
Wow. Like and flashing lights and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, and even like Walt Disney was a person who said, you know, I want to stimulate to people's higher minds, to their higher beings, and I want to stimulate them in an artistic and an intellectual way. And even, I mean, and it's great that they like keep that as part of the fireworks display. It's like integrated into the park. It's like, we're not just here to entertain people, we're also here to get them to think about their culture and to embrace it in a really non-threatening, entertaining way, you know?
I think everybody should ride this ride. You know, even, you know, whatever age you are, you know, we always make fun of this ride, like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, that ride's still around. You know, remember I was making fun of Lisa or The Simpsons when Lisa drinks and she starts hallucinating stuff. But, like, once you're on this ride...
Drinks the water?
She drinks the water and she starts hallucinating stuff. But,
coming down.
Like riding this ride, it took me back, and I was like, wow, where things, you know, I was happy. You get off the ride and you start singing this song, you're like, oh God, it's burned in my head.
It's kind of hypnotic, and so you kind of feel, because it's a small world after all, you become kind of connected with other people. And so, yes, they're all smiling, they're dancing, so you kind of feel a connection. You know what? It is a small world after all. So I bet it makes a lot of people happy, and then probably, if they got rid of that, there'd probably be more fights here at Disney.
You forget about what's going on in the real world. You know, the war, well, the pretend war, we'll call it, and all this other crazy crap that's going on in the news. You get on this ride, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm actually, you forget about everything else. I had fun.
Well, it is an oversimplified, idealized portrayal of different cultures, but
no,
at the same
time, it's real.
Well, but at the same time, it's great that something like this even exists. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's not just like cowboys and Indians, mm-hmm. or you know, roller coasters. That it's like, let's take a look at Thailand and represent it with these cute little dolls. Let's look at Sweden.
The hula girls killed me. I loved
the
it.
Hawaiian culture.
The hips.
I love the African girls because they had booties. They did. They had booty. They had back. Those girls were like ooh ooh ooh.
And you know, and you think about like all the Disney leading females as maybe criticized, but they're like racially diverse, and you have Native Americans, African Americans, and you know, blonde women of all shapes and colors. Cinderella.
Yeah, who's the African American leading lady?
The Zulu princess. Didn't you see that?
No, there's no movie.
The Zulu queen.
There's no Zulu queen.
There was one on the ride.
Esmeralda. Well, see. Let's go through the leading ladies of Disney animated films. Okay. There's
the Asian one is Mulan.
Pocahontas. Mulan.
No, Mulan. There's Pocahontas. There's.
And you have to give their porn names. So it's Pocahiney, right?
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. That's it.
Then there's Mulan. Sleeping Beauty. Let's stay on the track.
Sleeping with men.
Sleeping with men.
She's a slut.
No, sleeping with
Snow
the enemy.
White was a slut. She lived with seven men.
Snow White. There was the what is it? Cinderella.
Yes.
There was.
Oh God, Ariel.
Ariel, the Little Mermaid. There was Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, isn't it amazing that Sally and I know so much Disney trivia here?
Tinkerbell, she doesn't talk. Love her.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
How do you know she's really a girl?
Yeah, it could be a guy.
Well, a friend of mine, the one that...
fairy, after all.
You're right. She's got wings and she sparkles. I love her.
So maybe they're going to do the next... Oh, isn't the Lion King... Well, that was a take on Africa, but it was all animals.
Okay.
I can't think of a African American Disney.
They don't have one.
There is one.
No, they don't. They don't have one.
In High School Musical, but maybe that will be the next animated film. Will be the Zulu Queen.
Maybe.
You know, Chaka Zulu.
Scheherazade.
What a
Shaniqua.
Shaniqua goes to college. It's a Disney musical. You know, I love all the peppy, gay teenage boys.
Yes, on crystal meth.
Well, you don't know if they're crystal meth. You're just because you're not a slow adult, you know, and these kids have a lot of energy. Doesn't mean they're on drugs.
I know what crackety crack boys look like, and they were here.
You think they were really doing stuff?
That or they had that problem with their eyes are gonna pop out, and they like grind their teeth. Yeah, they were here.
Well, do you think like that they're over enthusiastic? Their enthusiasm seems insincere, or like seems that like they're trying too hard?
I don't know.
It seems really corny to me. I'm just like, oh my god.
But I like that. You know what? You you're not pleased because you're mad at
I can't be happy anyway.
You're at the happiest place on earth. You can never be happy. But it's like it's because the guy who was playing the music at the New Orleans area, yeah. He was a sad sack, and that was no fun to watch. And
I enjoyed that.
You did?
Yeah.
What is it that you like?
I was just like, he's miserable, and I'm enjoying his misery.
Girl, I got it, only me. It happened. We're walking around the castle as the fireworks are going, and I got lost. I got separated from you guys, and I'm like, shit. And the monitors are like, keep walking. I'm like, I lost my child. And she's like, okay, you do whatever you want. You can do, you know. She was like, it's okay. Go ahead. And I'm like, looking for you guys. Then I started texting. I'm like, maybe my child is with the other adult. Hold on.
Hey, can I go off topic for 1 second? Because we need some more help with our Wikipedia entry, because our Wikipedia entry has been deleted. Once again, it's been deleted.
Yes.
We go on vacation, and they
for
decide.
2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, and they decide.
And the day before we go on vacation.
Oh, it was the day before we went?
Or something like that. They said, this entry is
self-promotional.
As if any promotion is in about the self. As if anybody doesn't write their own Wikipedia entry.
Right. I mean, like Ugly Betty's Wikipedia entry isn't promotional.
Wasn't written by ABC Television.
You know? But because, you know, it's a big corporate entity, they don't have, you know, there's no relationship there, so they don't care to. But because, you know, we're the little guy and we're easy to pick on, it's delete.
Well, don't make me, listen, Mark, what? You have had months and months and months to fix the problems of the Wikipedia entry and you chose not to.
Look, it's not that I chose not to, it's just I'm not sure exactly what they want. You know?
Well, they want footnotes. They want.
And where am I supposed to footnote our podcast other than our website?
Well, there are articles written about us online.
Okay, point them out to me.
Well, see, when you go to school and you write a paper, they hold it to the same standards as Wikipedia entries. Right. And you've gone to grad school.
Yeah, I know.
So do it.
But I mean, we have references. We're real. They made it sound like we just made this shit up overnight.
I know. That is kind of like an insulting thing.
It's
about
like 2 years
it.
In a row, we won the People's Choice Award. You know, and this year we went.
One of their complaints is that it went to the People's Choice Award from, like, the People's Choice television show or something like that. So I don't know if people are fucking with the links or I don't know what's happening.
So Mark is unhappy about a situation, and you're going to we're asking you, our listeners, who have skills in dealing with Wikipedia entries, if you could assist us in you know, because one thing about Wikipedia is that nothing really permanently gets deleted; it just gets archived. Yeah. So it's very easy to bring it back up.
And it's just like all sorts of catty like remarks on it, and saying like, "Whoa, their picture looks nice," probably because whoever took it wanted to get a photo credit. Like all like weird catty.
It's not
shit.
Yeah, and if you really value what Wikipedia,
is. If they wrote us a letter and said, you know what, it's not for this and this and this and this, the next thing I know, it's just it's gone. You know.
If you value what Wikipedia is all about, I think that it would be important that you want to have entries that are quality, and that's understandable. Yeah. Deleting entries because you don't like the people that the entries represent is bad for Wikipedia, and it's poor academia. You know, it's the equivalent of burning a book because you don't like the contents of that book. You can question it. You can say, I'd like to challenge the authenticity of this entry, but not to remove it. It's very different.
Right, I agree. I like your analogy of book burning. I do like that because it is like that. It's your internet page burning.
Now, we saw the fireworks here at Disneyland, and they were absolutely stunning and dazzling.
And there is a reason why you should sit in front of the castle to watch the fireworks. I was like, why? You know,
you're like, I don't need to do that.
We can sit anywhere. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing projections done on the castle and, like, images. And I was like, okay. So that's when we walked around and saw that.
Must get there early, stake your spot, watch in front of the castle.
Yeah, so if you're going to Gay Days, wear a red shirt. Go to the social mixers.
Wear sunblock.
Oh, don't go on Sunday. Saturday and Friday are the better days to do Gay Days. Sunday gets taken over by families with kids and strollers.
Well, I don't know. They said they were doing one day in Walt Disney and then the next day in Frontierland. So I think some people...
California Adventure.
Yeah, California Adventure, yeah. So I think some people did divide it up like that, but I don't know.
Well, nevertheless, I think it's if you want to have the sort of the gay... intensity of experience, Friday and Saturday are the days to come. And certainly, you know, it is an experience, and if you've never done anything like this before, we recommend doing it. Make sure that you come with some friends, but at the same time, when you're traveling with groups of people, be very flexible and have lots of patience because people in that group are going to want to go in opposing directions, you know.
Bring cell phones so that you can text each other. That's how we kept finding each other.
That was very handy, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes it was.
Text messaging, man, I have to say, it's like I'm a devout follower. I used to be like, I don't know how to do this. Now I can do it.
Even I like it now.
Yeah, it really helps having a good cell phone that actually you can text message on.
My last one just sucked.
So there you go.
So what time is Phantasmagoria or Phantasm? What are we doing?
It's going on right now.
Oh, really?
Well, we really want to thank you so much for the people who donated and helped to make our trips to California possible. The Disney Corporation did not give us anything but their employees were very generous to us. And we want to do an applaud to all the gay employees at Disneyland.
You rock.
You guys are our base. You are wonderful people. You guys are sisters in the fight for fabulousness. And we want to salute you because you guys make the magic happen, and we're so entertained and so delighted to be in Disneyland and to share in the fun.
I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you, you know, over and over again, because I'm so happy.
And you guys can stay tuned later this week and next week, where we're going to be posting audio and video excerpts and the full thing, or edited down for time-wise, of our live shows in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. So we want to thank all the people who made this possible, and, you know, the grant from the ExxonMobil Corporation. Now, that didn't really happen.
A grant from you, the listener. Thank you for your support. Thank you for buying a t-shirt. If you haven't bought a t-shirt yet, we still have some fabulous black ones. Get them while you still can. Once they're gone forever.
And to
go back in the Disney vault.
And to Barbara Drum, and to Barbara Drum, who donated money in memory of her lover, Marty, and to Curtis Jensen of Steamworks, and to Steven Peterson of San Francisco. Anybody else you want to thank?
Oh, my God. I think you just basically covered everything else.
Yeah.
Buzz, Mike.
Ted, Doug, Jack. Who else is with us?
Diana and the children's. Because of the children, we do it for the children's. So I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Sal E.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Saying goodbye. See us on the website, feastoffools.net.
Drop us a comment.
Yes. Email us at mail at feastoffools.net.
Now, Sal E is going to leave us with a little improvised Disney, copyright-free Disney song.
Oh, God. I hate when you put me on the stop. I was going to do the Jiminy Cricket song, and I'm
okay, here we go.
And you wish.
I'm so happy to be in Disney because that's where dreams come true. I love to sing, I love to dance, and I like to hang with you. Cause Disney is so pretty, it's wonderful and fine. So Disney is the place that I like to be all the time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a nice...
Bye.